Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. My name is Jeanette Abney, and I want to thank you for coming on, logging on, taking the time to listen, as well as provide me interesting feedback as it relates to the topics of these shows. Now, today is March the 4th, 2024, and I'm going to be talking about something because now we are about to head into spring and summertime. Some individuals are going to be getting married pretty soon in the summer during June, and they talk about the April showers. But I want to talk about something as it relates to relationships. Now, I tell individuals, even as a therapist, a person called me today and said, what is the MA behind your name? And I said, that's master's degree. But don't get caught up with labels. And, you know, because some people have PhDs, LMFTs, all these different things. But many individuals don't realize that we're trained in order to be able to identify certain types of behaviors, mental health, relationship issues, family dynamics, a lot of things, which brings me to the topic of today, which has to do with toxic attachment. Now, a lot of times people say, let the past be the past, or they get caught up in relationships, and they all starting to seem kind of familiar. You know what? I tell people, when you talk about ghosts and spirits, whenever I start talking about my mama, something always happened. The phone gets hung up, so, but we got this. And I was saying that I did not realize until recently that growing up and all the stuff that I saw, that I saw myself slipping into the same old type of patterns and behaviors. I didn't realize that I was dating men that my mother used to date that I despised because of the same habits and behavior. That was what I saw. That was what I knew. And it was told to me by a person, Jeanette, you and your sisters date men that are so beneath you. And this is not to be judgmental. I don't want to say that. But what I want to say is some people just ain't got no business together. And so we start attracting and attaching. My mother used to say things like, I'm just a bum magnet. And my mother was a very beautiful, attractive woman. But the men she used to date, I used to be like, really? And I know my daughter and my son probably say the same thing about me. Mom, really? You know, and just where do these things, how do they come about? Where does it form? And, you know, when we start talking about these attachments, these attractions, what seems familiar. So have you ever wondered why you keep choosing the same type of toxic relationship? Part of it is because we don't even realize it's toxic. I remember growing up in Compton and my next door neighbor. I don't know what it was about this house, but good Lord. But the lady's name was Evelyn and her husband's name was JD. And every Friday night, they would fight. They would get drunk. They had a business. JD was a hard worker. And I believe JD is still alive. And I do want to see him because he's probably one of my mother's only friends that's probably still alive. But they fought. And it was so unhealthy and toxic. And I used to be like, I ain't dealing with no violent relationships. I'm not. I watched my mother go through that. I watched it all up and down the street. I saw individuals that with their parent-child relationship, grown folks living in the home, not wanting to do anything, unmotivated. I said, don't want to do that. I ain't going to be having no grown folks in here living in with me. Nope. You know, so sometimes my adult children wonder, why is my mom so mean? Why is my mom so, nothing I mean. It's just that I didn't want to live like that. So when we start talking about the toxicity, many individuals don't realize toxic. It seems like one will get into a relationship with an individual that possesses the same type of behaviors, just a different name. My auntie had posted something on the internet, on Facebook, and it said something about living with her adult kids. And I said, I'd rather go to a nursing home. I don't want to live with my adult kids because I don't want my adult kids living with me. And I know everybody was wondering, like, hey, why'd you guys feel like that? I don't want to be a burden on nobody. I told her, I said, I will start a casino night in a nursing home. We're going to have some fun. But I don't want to live with my kids. Nope. Now, when we start talking about these different things and attachments and relationships and what's healthy, what's normal, what's abnormal, it's different for everybody. And as a therapist, I've seen this far too often. And as one explores the term toxic attachment, it comes to mind in regards to we're looking at family, we're looking at loyalty, we're looking at a commitment, we're looking at we're supposed to stick together, I'm not supposed to give up, I'm supposed to till death do us part. But come on now, they got a lot of movies out here. There's a lot of more information and resources that are available now than what we had in the past to let you know that you don't deserve to be treated like that. And not only that, why is the person that way? Why are they so angry to where they're taking this out on women, or men are at a point to where, ooh, calling me, and I don't know who it is. Okay. So a lot of times we don't understand and we don't know where that stuff is coming from. But toxic attachment denotes the way in which one forms their closest and most intimate bonds. More often than not, the toxic attachment is about the behaviors that you see. I always say people are not bad people. They have bad behaviors. And sometimes that attitude is shaped from their beliefs, their perception, and their experiences. Now, when we start talking about these different things, more often than not, the toxic attachment, like I said, about the jealousy is one. Dominance, manipulation, selfishness, and desperation. Now, these behavior patterns that destroy and undermine the connection that makes for a healthy relationship. You may say a little jealousy is okay, but when you stalking folks and you peeking in the window and you putting tracking devices on people's cars and leaving bugs in their home to see what they're doing, you just took it to a whole nother level. Now, with that, many have learned to accept these behaviors as they saw them as a child while they were young. I did. I've seen a whole lot of stuff. And I'm going to say his name because it's what Mr. Hollyfield used to do. And my mother was okay with it. And they kind of was off and on friends and all of that stuff to the day he died. I'm like, it made no sense to me. Now, when we see that as a child, many individuals believe that they now have no way out, they feel helpless, or they want the other person to change, not realizing that such behaviors may change them. So let's talk about it. I want to hear your thoughts. Now, to join in on this conversation, give me a call at 516-387-1914, because I want to hear what you think about or your thoughts or your experiences as it relates to a toxic attachment. Do you have to stay in this relationship? Why is it that you're finding it very difficult to accept the fact that this person is just not going to change, that it's just who they are? And what did you learn from your experience so that you don't keep doing it over and over and over and over again? Now, I don't want to start calling people because some individuals did say that they were going to call in and participate as we talk about this topic. And I should call my friend, but I know he's going to say, I'm watching General Hospital. And he may not even answer the phone, but I'm going to do it anyway just because I want to hear what he has to say in regards to this topic. Let me see if I can get him to answer the phone. See, now you guys got me like I'm prank calling folks, and I don't like to do that. I like you to have your own free will. Let me see. But I don't think he's listening on Facebook. So dare him not answer the phone. I know it's 2 o'clock and General Hospital is on. So really, he's not gonna answer the phone. At least leave a voicemail so I can say you watch at General Hospital. Oh dear, here.
I am not home at the present moment. I am nowhere near my phone. You leave your message, name, number, or whatever.
Oh God. I know you at home, and I know you watch the General Hospital, and I was calling you because I wanted you to join in on this topic as we're talking about toxic attachments and how individuals get caught up in these type of unhealthy relationships and what makes for a healthy relationship. And you watch the General Hospital. Bye. Okay, have you ever wondered how you get caught up in these type of situations, relationships, choosing the same type of person? You know, a couple of, probably a few months ago, maybe years, time is going by so fast, I did a show about toxic love because some individuals thought that it was love. You know, the person loved me. Me and this person are good. Person, we're good together. We've been together 10, 15, 20 years. You know, as a therapist, I've seen individuals go through waves where they've been married for a certain amount of time, and now they're questioning whether they want to remain in the marriage or if it's they want to get out because the person is just is not going to change. But the other person has accepted that behavior for so long, and they viewed it as love. You know, Brandy sung a song. I believe it was Brandy. She talks about the lyrics was, "Have you ever loved someone so much?" And I was like, "Have you ever loved someone?" I'm like, "That it hurts, makes you cry. Have you ever?" You know, and I see you while you haven't called in. I see you popped up on Facebook. So there's been songs that have been made. There have been movies that have been made. There's a lot of things. We talk about fatal attraction. We talk about all these different things that we see these types of personalities and character traits in individuals, but yet we still will engage in a relationship. You know, Belle Biv DeVoe, they had the girl is poison. Don't trust the big button to smile. But we minimize a lot of different things. We minimize childhood trauma. We minimize if a person has been abused. We minimize if that person has been in a domestic violent relationship. And again, I'm not saying people are bad people, but unless they have healed, they can have some toxicity in them. They can project these things onto other people, really realize it, or they could be in what's called survival mode. And while they're trying to survive, they don't realize how it may be affecting other people. Hey, Luther Keith, I see you out there. You can call in too if you want to talk about toxic attachment as we start looking back at these relationships. Now, when we talk about the behavior, the disrespect, the love, the abuse can occur in several different types of forms. It could be verbal abuse, physical abuse, spiritual abuse, financial abuse, sexual abuse. Now, when we talk about these different things and these abusive relationships and behaviors, verbal and emotional can have an impact on a person that can leave lifelong scars. I listen to the way I hear some women talk to men, and I'll be like, ooh, that's disrespectful, ooh, that's. And I listen also to the way sometimes men talk to women, and they don't realize that that is not healthy. So then someone will say, well, Jeanette, there's no such thing as a perfect relationship. You're absolutely right. There is no such thing as a perfect relationship. But what is huge is respect and trust. Now, when we start talking about, I asked a question, and I'm looking at an article, and this article was actually written by someone, and it was published in Practical Growth. A 10-minute read, so I'm not going to read the whole thing for 10 minutes. But it talks about the topic in regards to why you keep choosing the same toxic relationships over and over and over again. You know, life doesn't seem to happen like a storybook, and neither do romantic relationships. Now, we start talking about, despite what we see on TV, the promises that people make, how they say they're going to change, and sometimes people are great pretenders to where we wind up with one person, and then the next thing you know, my daughter used to say, Mom, they changed on you. Mom, that's not the same person you met. Sure isn't. Our relationships strides can be both good as well as bad, but they can also uncover some of our more unpleasant attachment and coping habits. And the worst of all is a toxic attachment. And it can happen to couples from anywhere. Now, what is a toxic attachment? Like I said, it denotes the way in which we form our closest and most intimate bonds with other people, be it family, be it dating, be it friendship. Now, when we talk about toxic attachment, we're talking about behaviors like jealousy, dominance, manipulation, selfishness, and desperation. There's a lot of desperate people out there. There's a lot of individuals that will manipulate individuals to do things, and they may know that they, call them womanizers. Not only womanizers, you got manizers. Auntie, call in, talk to me. I see you out there, Auntie Samantha. I see you watching, but give me a call as we're talking about toxic attachments. And I know you be talking about me. I be getting to be about talking about the dead, but I had said, I realized, as bad as my mama was, that I just realized that I dated men just like the men she had. And didn't even realize I had some Mr. Hollyfield. Now, when we start talking about these behavior patterns that destroys and undermines our connection, that brings us joy, and they're more common than you might think. Now, these poisonous relationship centers around what's called a fantasy bond. That's part of the attachment, is we have this fantasy that occurs when two people form an illusion based on individual fears rather than facing up to things that they really are. It's a fantasy. You know, you people say, oh, I'm going to change, or I'm not going to cheat anymore, I'm not going to lie anymore. If you're a liar, you go lie. If you're a cheater, you go cheat. Whatever it is in you is going to come out of you. Now, the fantasy bond replaced the real feelings in a relationship and replaced them with something more dangerous altogether. When I'm watching these shows, and I was watching one the other day about I dated a psychopath. I was like, ooh. You know, or people would say, well, my husband is narcissistic. What you gonna do about it? Not much you can do but try to save yourself. Now, some individuals would say that with these relationships, and it talks about the number of other places that we learn toxic relationship patterns that keep us stuck, keep us scared, and searching for some shred of happiness and eternal life. My cousin called me not too long ago, and he wanted to talk to me about me. I wasn't defensive. I listened to him. And I remember having a conversation with my stepfather, Fitch, and he told me about me and my sister. He said, don't you get no more husband. I still think I got one more in me. He said, don't you get no more husband. He said, you and your sisters, y'all need to just date. And you got, because you guys, y'all can't do it. You can't. And he didn't want to say it was because of what we had witnessed and the things that we've seen. And I thought I kind of healed from a lot of that, so I try to break that cycle and that pattern, but I still do a lot of the same old stuff. But it makes sense to me now what he was saying, because not everybody is going to be able to adapt, understand, or get it, or whatever the case may be. I also remember when I was 14 years old, when I was dating my last husband. When I was 14, his mother was kind of with me because she thought I was going to grow up and be like my mama. But we wind up being the best of friends. Ms. Betty Mae Harvard was my girl. But she had to get to know me separately to see that I didn't have a lot of those toxic patterns that she saw in my parents. But I didn't know she knew my parents when they were younger. So she had way more information than what you realize she had. But I had to show her something different, but she didn't realize probably wasn't me, it was her son. And then she told him, if you ever do anything hurt Jeanette, I will hunt you from the grave. That woman was not playing when it came to me. And I loved her for that. Now, when we start talking about what keeps us stuck, scared, and searching for some shred of happiness is some individuals think people have poor self-esteem. And sometimes that's the case, but not always, because you will find people that will go after individuals that they feel have a high self-esteem that's very resilient, and their goal is to break them down sometimes. Like they say, the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But by that same token, you don't have to get in the power if you can identify that when you first see it coming, when you first see it coming. I was reading something or listening to something, and it was talking about how some individual comes like a thief in the night and steal your time, steal your youth, and get that back. And many times people don't realize they have invested many years of their life in unhealthy relationships. But one of them is, again, poor self-esteem. If you can't respect yourself, it's going to be hard to find other people that will respect you. Feeling good about yourself sometimes often will put you in a different perspective of the way you see things, because you're not going to allow individuals to just treat you any kind of way. Because sometimes we have to teach people how to treat us or how to treat you. I tell individuals now, that's my thing that I admire about my daughter. She's a nonsense. She ain't having it. You're not going to come to her with that mess because she's not going to entertain it. And that's a good thing. That is definitely a good thing. Now, but when we start talking about these things, I'm looking at something, and it says, be careful before dating someone who calls you there's dangers in town. When they talk about people that are psychopaths or empaths or, you know, things of that nature. Mr. Paul, when you going to call in? I'm waiting on Mr. Paul. You're supposed to call in. Now, we started talking about the, I don't know what's going on with my internet. My stuff is just stuck. It talks about emotional attachment, because we know that, like I said, the jealousy, the distrust, the, you know, sometimes individuals, if a person has been cheated on, I didn't realize how powerful that was. But I do know that if you've not healed from an unhealthy relationship, you got to take that time to do so before you engage in another relationship with someone else, because you will carry that into your new relationship. Now, I'm looking at another article, and it talks about, is it bad to be attached to someone? It says five signs of an unhealthy emotional attachment. Unhealthy. Now, we know relationships can bring us some of the most wonderful shared experiences, and after all, sharing our lives and joys with others. You know, you see people on Instagram, Facebook, they be on TikTok, they just seem so happy, and like life is just so great, and behind closed doors, Lord, ain't no telling what the heck is going on. You know, we basically, when we start talking about the joys of another person, as we know, it can be gratifying in so many ways. And yet, we tend to rely on our partners for support, for love, for understanding. But if they're not healthy, how they going to give us all of that? If you with a person that's always in pain, or if you're with a person that's depressed, are you dealing with someone who's an alcoholic and have a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde personality? That can be a problem later on, because that person can be toxic for you. Now, an unhealthy emotional attachment can form due to a variety of factors. But how do you know if they are, or if you're attached to your partner in an unhealthy manner? Here are some of the signs that they talk about. Experiencing a significant jealousy or distrust, if it's just too much. If you so worry about, I teach my clients in the domestic violence group that jealousy with a partner is not that you are jealous. It's you fear that you're going to lose them, the fear of abandonment, the fear that somebody is going to take what you have. And it could be realistic or it could be unrealistic, but it can definitely cause a problem, especially if it becomes significant or there is a significant distrust, meaning you had someone to steal from you, take from you. If you've been in a relationship or a marriage where your wife took everything, left you with nothing, or cheated on you with their best friend, that can be unhealthy in a relationship with someone else if you don't get some help. Now, it's natural to wonder about someone you love, especially if they've left the house for a work trip, or they, you know, you feel that you got that intuition or that gut feeling. But if it's becoming too much, you might want to get some help. The second one, having a strong need for your partner's presence. Some individuals can be very, 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 very clingy, very, very attention-seeking, very needy, and they need to have that person around them 24/7. That's not healthy because you want to have and develop a sense of autonomy. Reginald says, for instance, stay in a house that stinks. Oh, eventually you start, thinking, wait a minute, what are you talking about? You live in a house that stinks, eventually you start thinking too, or you'll adapt to the, now that is true. That part is true. If you are in a home or you around somebody, you will start acting just like them. And I understand what you're saying. If you're living in a house, you got some people that live in a house with a bunch of dogs. And when you walk in their house, you can smell them dogs. But then after a while, you don't smell them no more. They don't even smell the funky dogs no more. So that is true. But that still don't make it healthy. You just get used to it. And you have to learn how to break that bond and break that attachment so that you won't continue to repeat the same behaviors. And I've been trying to get you to stop them behaviors ever since you was born because you didn't realize, Mr. Jupiter, the family you was born into. I knew. I've seen it. And you're doing the same thing. So you got to get to the point to where you want something for yourself. Otherwise, we talk about toxic. The person will poison everyone around them and anybody they interact with. I will never forget when my friend was at my house and my son's father came in before my son's father and knocked on my door. He said, hey, we're not talking about me. I'm talking about you. And my son's father knocked on the door. My friend opened the door and said, that's the devil. Boy, was she right. And if not just the, it was the way, it was the thoughts, it was the behavior, it was all of that. But she said, that's the devil. So I've had other men in my life that people have told me, Jeanette, his brother was the devil and he ain't far from it. And I just didn't listen. And now I'm starting to see a pattern. I'm starting to see the behaviors. I'm starting to see the connections. I'm connecting the dots. And it's sad to say, but there are a lot of women and men in the cemetery. Some bodies have not been found. But they ignored the red flag and wasn't paying attention. What more is it going to take for you to realize you better leave that person alone? That person is not healthy for you. Even if you do have a strong need or you feel that you want them around you all the time, let it go. Leave it alone. Another one it talks about is struggling with excessive anger and frustration. It is common to have fluctuation in emotional responses in certain situations, but if you find that you become emotionally charged with anger and frustration, you want to look at the connection because you want to make sure that you're not feeling as if you are the blame for how they feel, what they do. Another one is assuming your partner must meet all of your emotional needs. Can't nobody meet all your emotional needs. Sometimes you got to figure out what you need and what you want. Sometimes we may want it but not need it. Sometimes we may need it and not want it. Another one is finding no balance in the relationship. That is huge because you want to make sure that you have balance and you want to make sure that the relationship you can grow with this individual. Now, they talk about some factors that may cause unhealthy emotional attachment. One is modeling. Many individuals who develop unhealthy connections do so from modeling or from some form of learned behavior. For example, parents or family members may model a particular unhealthy relationship. That is often what we call generation. We replay it. I'm looking at a text. I got to call a client. Okay, another thing is it should be noted that modeling can also stem from an earlier form of relationship, which can be trauma. And with that trauma, it can become part of a what they call a cycle of behaviors, and when these model or adhere to, therapy is often recommended. That means go get you some help because you're repeating the same behaviors. Another thing is emotional regulation. Being able to regulate and process emotions is a key factor in what we call developing healthy connections. Emotional maturity, emotional intellect. We talk about a lot of these things. We've got these emojis that we see on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all this other stuff. That helps a lot of individuals to be able to identify certain feelings. But we got to not only acknowledge them, accept them, we got to do something about it and not projecting and blaming onto other individuals. So when a person has a hard time managing how they feel and with understanding how they feel, their emotions can be what you call erratic. And when this occurs, they have a hard time connecting effectively because they spend too much time trying to process their emotion. Or what they do is they will self-medicate. And as they self-medicating, they will self-medicate with drugs, alcohol, gambling, sex, or other type of addictive behavior. That can destroy a relationship. The next thing they talk about is poor emotional boundaries. Being aware of emotional boundaries is a key to developing healthy connections. If one person cannot identify these boundaries, conflict in a relationship can arise. Now, a person who is aware of their emotional needs, feeling nurtured, feeling being heard, feeling prioritizing things, feeling these basic emotions, but however, not all of us are able to do that for whatever the reason may be. And if you're not in tune to these needs, it can become very hard to establish boundaries because you don't know how to ask for the things you need and you want, nor are you willing to give somebody the space that they may require if they're telling you these things because you're so afraid they're going to leave you, so you will self-sabotage the relationship. That's toxic. We talk about self-sabotaging. So those are just a few things. We start talking about the emotional attachment because a lot of times individuals are not even aware that these things are even, that they even exist. We got what's called a secure attachment. We got individuals with all type of different things that they're not even aware of. So how do you break these unhealthy and toxic relationships or these toxic attachments? In order to break it, you have to identify your attachment style. To fix an unhealthy attachment issue, you got to understand what your style is. We talk about, is it unsecure, insecure? Is it, what abandonment? Is it avoided? Is it, what is it? And then you also have to determine if you're dealing with the unhealthy attachment. How are you dealing with it? You can journal it. You can also talk to someone if you have healthy or unhealthy relationship issues. But seek professional help. Now, when we start talking about not only with people in a dating relationship, what if it's somebody in your family? We have individuals that are related to other people, and they have unhealthy or toxic attachments. Now, I'm looking at something. It says, what is the most unhealthy attachment style? And they said, fearful avoidance. Many individuals with this style experience harsh criticism, fear, and even abuse and neglected children. A fearful attachment style is often categorized by a negative view of self and others, which means the ability of helping others, loving other individuals, and supporting them. It's not in them. So when we run into someone or we're dealing with someone that has this fearful, avoidant attachment, what makes you think you're going to fix that? What makes you think that they can love you if they can't love themselves? What makes you think they're going to respect you if they don't respect themselves or even respect their parents. And see, part of it is we have to learn to identify that. I tell individuals, the stuff I did in my 20s and my 30s, okay, I was young, you know, getting on the better. I'm in my 50s, almost 60s. The devil is a liar if I'm going to be dealing with that kind of mess now in my life. Not at all. Now, when we start talking about these different types of, even as an adult, we know that unhealthy attachment tends to form when individual experience inconsistent, neglectful, or abusive care during infancy and early childhood. You know, a child whose parents provide inconsistent emotional support, they're going to think the same thing with their partner. And a lot of times individuals, and I know myself, I did not realize the trauma. I didn't. When I would date people and they would say, oh, I shot my stepfather, or I figure, ain't nothing wrong with that. I've done stuff like that. Now, you better pay attention. You better pay attention. Leave it alone. Another thing, like I said, a child whose parents provide inconsistent emotional support may develop an anxious style, which may cause them to need constant reassurance in a romantic relationship. And healthy attachment, on the other hand, are typically the result of consistent, responsive, nurturing care early in life, and it can often lead to a more stable relationship later in life. Now, I'm not saying blame your parents. Paul, you're supposed to be calling in, Paul. 516-387-1914, because I'm tired of talking. So when we start talking about this, like I said, you don't want to blame your parents, because there are some individuals that have had, I don't want to call them bad childhood, but they experienced some things in life that other people may not have experienced. And that doesn't mean that all take it out on everybody or others, because some individuals have gotten some help. They have processed these things. And when you know better, you do better. But then there are also those that things have happened and they have taken it out and projected it onto other people. Now, attachment patterns in children, we talked about when I said that the toxic attachment, there's actually different types of attachment. And they identified, the four patterns have been identified. One of them is secure attachment, anxious avoidant attachment, and disorganized. So we want to make sure that, you know, I hear a lot of individuals talk about, you know, growing up, being a man, being a woman, can't turn a whore into a housewife. I've heard, you know, we dealing with these boys. I've heard a lot of negative things, but what can we do that is positive to try to help individual, what we call, heal from these unhealthy attachments? What are some of the things that we can do to where if the person is or demonstrating negative behavior, you know, it can turn around? Okay, let's see who this is. This is Jeanette.
Hey,
welcome to Pigments Blog Talk Radio. How are you doing?
Hey.
Okay. I told you people would be wanting to hear your input as it relates to these topics, because they feel you have a lot to share coming from a different perspective. And, you know, many of us have lived long enough, been in relationships, and sometimes when we talk to other people, they think we know it all, and the fact that we know it all. My mother used to say, been there, done there, got my T-shirt. But when we talk about toxic attachments, and I asked you to call in on the show, what was your first thought when you kind of put the words together, toxic attachment, what that means? What was your perspective? And what is your perspective?
We get caught up in this thing called L-O-V-E, in which love does, people don't understand the real true meaning of love. Love is not, love is patient, love is blind, love is kindness. And sometimes we have to really open our eyes and see, you know, the toxic things that people do and say, is this benefiting me? And if it's not benefiting you, then I don't think they're the one with the issue you are, because sometimes we have to learn to walk away from people. And it's a little hard when you say you care for someone, and you really see the potential in a person, and you just want them to do better. And sometimes you can waste a lot of time trying to get people to do different things and seeing different things when they've never had a real relationship, never really had nobody to love them, really show nobody to show them how to love, really have nobody to really give them a true understanding of what life is truly about, because they call up in the glamour and bobblehead syndrome of knowing everything. And nobody knows everything. So sometimes we just have to cut them off and walk away. And then they get to understand that, hey, maybe they were right. Maybe I need to do something different. Maybe I need to see something different. And only you know when you had enough. Nobody else.
You know what? When you said that, it kind of took me into our friend when she said, get somebody else to do it. And that is true, because love means different things to different people. Because you got people that are abusive and will tell you they love you. My mother used to say, I beat you because you love me. I love you. I used to be, well, hell, don't like me then. If I got to get a whooping like this, I don't think I want you loving me. I don't like this. And it brought this resentment up in me. And, you know, and childhood plays a role. But we have a lot of
people
that have a victim mentality. They will be like, okay, well, nobody loved me. This happened to me. And you know our friend, he'll bring up childhood stuff. And I heard that, hell, he's telling somebody else's story, that didn't even happen to him. You know, sound good. But by that same token, how long are we going to keep using that to justify the way we treat other people? Because then ain't nobody going to be bothered with us. If you keep
correct.
Going around.
And most people don't know how to. Right. Most people don't know how to tear down that rearview mirror and let things go, because they always looking behind them at what's been happened to them. And the minute you get from looking behind you and start looking forward, I guarantee you your life is going to change. I guarantee you you're going to start seeing different things. I guarantee you you're going to, no matter what your childhood done to you, you know what I'm saying? That was your childhood. You're a freaking adult now. Let that go and move on with your life. Because if you don't, it's going to keep tearing at you. It's going to keep eating at you. You're going to keep doing the same old stupid dumb stuff, and you ain't going to never get over it. You're going to be that way the rest of your damn life.
You know what? Kitty J said it best. My phone is going dead. Kitty J said, what happened to you is not your fault. Because there are some individuals that have experienced some horrible childhood and turned out to be great leaders, great individuals, because they learned not to let that hinder them or handicap them. He said, what happened to you is not your fault, but it's your responsibility to do something about it. Now, if you don't do anything about it, it's going to do something about you, and it can't be a hindrance in your life. And I had to tell my son today, after he sent me a text this morning, you can run all you want, but you can't run from you. Because what we do is we will take that same behavior to another, like they say, the same old rodeo, same old, you know. Everybody is not going to be dealing with that. I used to, I was told that I date men like my father. Now, my father was a muscular man growing up. He was in the bodybuilding. And then my mother used to say that muscle turned fat, which it did. And I used to date and attract bigger men. And I don't mean big like obese. But the reason why is because I come from a family of female bullies. And you see how the women in our family would get up in a man's face? And I had to realize, you know, you ain't stronger than him. But I may not be stronger than you, but I'll shoot shit out of you. But I learned that I don't want to go to jail and be in prison because of da-da-da. Or a person telling you, just kill me. I will have to leave you alone because you're not healthy for me. This is not conducive to my life. So, but it took me a while to understand that. Or you dealing with a person with a low self-esteem that is emotional and everybody leave me. And then I see why they left you. Nope. Sometimes we have to learn that thing. My mother used to say, it's hot. Leave it alone. Before you even mess with it, leave it alone. You know it. But we still play with it. Still play with it. And a lot of that...
Some people like adventure.
I was going to say, do you think it's because we think we can help them or they remind us of our mother, our father, our sister, our brother. There's something that is that we are attracted to, which brings those type of individuals into our lives because it's familiar.
Tell me about it.
Otherwise, we would run from it. You know, I'm a cheerleader,
right.
Student. What am I doing with a gangbanging hood digger? Drug dealer, what the hell? That ain't what I need. It sure ain't what I need in my life now. You know, what would I be? What would you think of me if I got a boyfriend where we're talking about I'm a gangster? I'm a thug. You're going to be looking at me like you're you're a therapy. Mm-mm. And expose myself to that type of attachment. So I do want to learn to identify that, Mr. Paul. When you see that you're going forward, you see that you're trying to better your life, but you got somebody that is you're attached to that's like holding you down, that's stagnant, unmotivated, don't want, what do you do? Say, oh, I've been married to this person for 20 years, but you see you ain't going nowhere, right? What do you do?
That's hard to say, Jeanette, because we get caught up in our own traps. And
mm-hmm.
we really don't focus on the real cause and see that. Sometimes
mm-hmm.
we just blind. Blindness is it's a huge thing.
You know what? I remember my mother told me one time about a friend, and she wasn't really my friend. And I thank God, but my mother brought it to my attention. My mother was wise in a lot of ways. Some things I kind of ignored, but some things made a lot of sense. My mother told me before she died one time, and this woman wound up going to my mother's funeral, too. My mother said, Jeanette, why did you bring that woman back into our lives after I prayed her out? And that made a lot of sense. Sometimes if you don't have the strength to remove that person, God will remove them or remove you. You can't. You can't. It's too much. It's too much. I have friends that have lost their spouse, and they would, you know, be worrying and crying. And I'm not insensitive because I've lost a lot of people in my life that have died in transition, but they better off because that person was toxic and they couldn't get rid of that person. And the only thing that may have separated them was death. And it's sad. It is so sad. I talk about my mother and Mr. Hollyfield. When Mr. Hollyfield passed, it took a lot out of my mother because she didn't have nobody. She still had other people she projected that unhealthy, toxic relationship with and on to, but it was different after he died. She was different after he died, and I noticed that, but it still didn't change her behavior because people let her get away with it. They let her get away with it. Me, I'd be like, my love don't run like that. Nope, I'll get in trouble for some of the stuff that I've seen. So part of it is you got to want to do better. You got to want more out of life. Now, when we start talking about general signs of unhealthy attachment include using a relationship, an object, or a job to define your sense of worth. That's not healthy. You cannot determine or say how a person is just because of the relationship they're in, the type of job they have, and let that determine your sense. Also, relying on others for approval or having a hard time imagining life without the person or without the object and neglecting your basic needs to prioritize someone else. That's not healthy.
Yeah.
Now, my question to you is, what are some of the signs? And I see people that are on Facebook watching. You can call into the show. We have at least about 9 minutes and 40-some seconds left. You can call in at 516-387-1914. Paul, what are some signs of a toxic relationship?
Somebody that wants to, that don't have your best interest at heart. Some people that,
uh-huh.
that want to fight all the time, argue all the time, tell
uh-huh.
you you're wrong all the time. And not seeing,
mm-hmm.
not being a true partner. A true partner is somebody that doesn't see you for what you bring to the table or how you bring it to the table. They see you for
mm-hmm.
who you are.
Mm-hmm. And my daughter said to say something. She want to you do it. You do it. You do it. You know, you want to be able to balance it out. having someone that like Paula White said, a relationship is healthy when I can be me, you can be you, we can be us. I can grow, you can grow, we can grow. I look for team players. If you're not gonna be a part of my team, I don't even need you in the audience or the get away from me. Cause you nope, leave me alone. Now I'm looking at something, Paul, that talks about 24 signs you're in a toxic relationship and you need to let go. Even if you don't want to let go, you need to leave that alone. Now, when we start talking about signs and a toxic relationship, as we know, can be hard to identify sometimes because we get used to it. But like any type of abuse, it could be physical, it could be emotional, it could be verbal, it could be financial. I remember a person told me, Jeanette, that man go stick around you until you broke. When your money run out, he gone. I remember that. You know, I've heard people say, you know what, Jeanette, you need to be careful. And I'm not saying that I judge people based on what they did to other people, but you already know. It's a sign. Here's one of the things that they talk about. It says, be on the lookout for, or on the radar, for any signs that you are in a toxic relationship. And one of them says, your SO always finds something wrong with you. If your partner is always telling you what's wrong with you and pointing a finger at you, things on to you. So it's important to know that that's not a you issue, that's their issue. So that's one of the things. A second one is they strip away your self-esteem. Toxic partners like picking at you. If you hear criticizing statements on a regular basis, you need to be careful with that. Meaning, I don't like that dress, cut your hair, I don't like it. Why are you wearing so much makeup? Constantly criticizing you. That's not healthy. Because they're not trying
I've learned, Jeanette, that when people are always criticizing you or saying what you're doing wrong, it's mm-hmm. really what they're doing wrong. They're hiding mm-hmm. what they're doing wrong to put that perjective on you. You can hide from what they're doing wrong and not seeing what they're doing wrong.
That's true. There is some truth to that. It's like a person that's always accusing you of something. Accusations is a form of mental abuse, of emotional abuse. Because you start self-doubting and gaslighting and love bombing, and we got all these things going on in relationships now that people don't even pay attention to. Another thing about a toxic relationship is there's a clear imbalance of power. Start asking yourself who has more power in a relationship. Now, when we start talking about power and control, we got to be careful with that because the abuse of power, some individuals will, let's say for an example, they know you have the ability to do something, but they won't do what they know that you're capable of doing. Another one is they're controlling and excessively jealous is another thing that you know that's a problem. You're not practicing self-care. If you're not taking care of yourself and you are letting yourself go, that's a clear sign that you may be in a toxic relationship because you're just giving up. You are really giving up because self-care is vital. Every relationship to keep. And you got to keep the toxicity out because they can bring you down. You just become drained. Another one is you keep waiting and hoping for them to change. That was one of the things, the attachment part, Mr. Paul, is a lot of bad behaviors that make relationships toxic could be a deal breaker for a healthy relationship. There are some things that people will, Paul, they can know your deal breaker and do it right there in your face just to see what you go do. That's why I tell people ultimatums don't work. Don't give a person the ultimatum if you're not going to follow through. Don't do it. Because all you're going to do is make yourself look foolish, and they already know you ain't going to do nothing about it. So I tell people, don't take away my choice. If that's just who you are, let me know, and that way I can decide whether I'm going to deal with you or not. But while you're waiting on people to change, you may change first. What is your take on that? Sometimes people are waiting on people to change.
Well, like I said, only you know when you had enough, you know. If you keep biting on the same nail and you keep losing teeth, then it's something wrong with you.
That's a good one. Keep biting sitting there saying they'll keep losing teeth, and you, your teeth just falling out. You refuse to realize.
And you just saying, oh, man, that's just me. That's me. I'm just biting on this nail, and it ain't breaking.
Ain't nothing changed but me. Another one is the seventh one. Mr. Father says, you feel very insecure. When you're in a healthy relationship, there's a significant back and forth that you're complimenting each other, you're getting along well. But when you're in an unhealthy, toxic relationship, you start to feel a little bit of insecurity. What's that about?
Well, when you're in a toxic relationship, like I say, you keep biting on that same nail and you just keep spitting out teeth and saying, hey, it's me, it's me. But it's really not you, and you really don't understand that, you know, some things are meant to be and some things are not. And by the time you figure it out, it's truly, truly, truly too late.
My mother had to say it. She said that you see a teenage girl walking around here praying. They talk about, I don't like him. Now you don't like him now that you're pregnant? That's a little bit too late now. Another one is,
yeah, a little bit too late.
Your partner never takes responsibility. Now, a lot of times when we say never take responsibility, they quick to blame the other person for the way they feel. I feel this way. You did da-da-da-da-da. We got another caller that's calling in the last 2 minutes. Hi, this is Jeanette. Welcome to Precious Predicaments, Block Talk Radio. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, Jeanette. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. We're talking about toxic attachments. I got Mr. Paul on the line today. And him, his input, as we talk about, I told him that people were saying that they like his input as we talk about some of these topics because he comes from a different perspective. When we start talking about toxic attachments, what comes to your mind? Because I know you've dealt in certain relationships. I've dealt with relationships. All have dealt with relationships. How do you identify if it's toxic or not?
Jeanette, I've been listening to this show, so you don't have to, you know, update me. I've been listening to the whole show. You know, I was kind of out and about, and you know, I was kind of busy, so I wasn't able to call in because I was, like I said, I was kind of busy, you know. But I've been listening to the show, and which is very interesting, by the way. As you know, since me and you have had talks, you know, I've had my share of toxic, you know, experiences, you know, and so I definitely, you know, can see your point and your, you know, the topic is a good one. I think you can probably do a part two on it because you can probably expand it, you know, on what you're talking about tonight, you know, I mean today, because, you know, like my man was saying, about that's a good one. I like that about the teeth and the nail. That's cool. I like that. I'm going to use that one. I'm stealing that one. I like that. That was cool. I mean, it's like this here, Jeanette. Like I said before, I think you heard me say this before. People don't change. That's a myth. People don't change. They evolve into who they were meant to be. A seed doesn't change into a tree. A seed just grows into a tree. That makes sense?
Yeah.
In other words, the DNA is already there for it to become a tree. It just hasn't evolved to its full potential yet. So that's what it is. People don't change. They just become who they were meant to be to start with. It may take some time.
But here's the deal. Here's the thing with Mr. Ed with that is I agree with that, and DNA is no joke. But once you realize that what you're doing is unhealthy, and once you realize that you have the potential and it's in you, you should want to do something different. Don't want to do the stuff that I watched my mama do, my grandmama did, my auntie. I don't want to do all of that. I'm not saying it's not in me, but it's like fighting these demons and spirits. And I know better. I've never been one that argues. I'm telling you, I don't argue. I'm not going to raise my voice. I'm not going to be at you. I'm not going to be calling you all out. I'm not going to do all of that. I'm not.
Well, let me speak on that. I see exactly where you're going on that. But one thing you just said earlier about, I think it was your mom or somebody had been with somebody for a long time, and you got, kind of, that's basically how it is. A lot of people get in relationships, and they get comfortable in that relationship. So when things start developing, with their partner, they pretty much adapt rather than say, hey, I don't like this, I'm out of here. People don't do that. Which technically you're not supposed to jet just because somebody evolves into somebody you weren't expecting them to be, because that's part of what marriage is about. Marriage was designed to be forever, not until you get tired of the person.
Okay.
But as far as
I just had a flashback, Mr. Ed, when you said that. There was an age difference between my mama and this man, and I think it was 25 to 30-year age difference. It was a big age difference, so this man was much older than my mama. This man, they would shoot at each other. I would be a kid sitting on the porch, and I'm with my mother. That's what I'm talking about.
You mean it would be like Matt Dillon and them, draw?
Yes, yes, yes.
Wow.
Mr. Ed, as God is my witness, I was outside sitting on the porch, and I could hear my mother screaming, bring me my gun, bring me. And I would have, she put us in danger, and would never, she would go sneak and go see that man. She would break into his hotel room. He was into voodoo. He was... She wouldn't leave me alone, and I was at his funeral, sitting right next to her, laughing. When he died, she was on her way to the hospital. So it was too much. Mr. Ed, we used to have to drive my mother to work because this man would try to run her off the road shooting at her. One time he came to the house, she had just pulled up. I got up out of my room, met her in the hallway. We were talking in the hallway in the living room. The window, Mom, we got bars on the front window because this man would throw bricks through our window at least once a week. We could never. He was forever throwing bricks through the window. And the next thing I knew, something went boom. I thought it was a brick. It was a bullet. Went right by my head into the wall, and then he stole the Cadillac, stole the car. That was too much. I didn't want to live like that. It was too much.
Wow, that was extremely toxic.
You know what? And I couldn't stand that man. I couldn't stand him. And I'll never forget my mother said, Jeanette, if you hurt this man, you go to jail for the rest of your life, and he's not worth it. But I thought I had to save myself because you ain't saving me. I'm in my mother's car one day. I'm driving down the street. This man started shooting at me because he thought I was my mama. I said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell my daddy. My daddy crazy, too. And my daddy had to tell my mama, look, that man has shot at our daughter. Would you go to me? She wouldn't leave me alone. She just was not being there. And I said, at one time, I was in the shower. My sister, we were standing up. My sister said, Jeanette, get out the bathtub. Get up. Mr. Hollyfield in the backyard with a 12-gauge shotgun. My mama was supposed to be in there. But he was so jealous of her, he tried to fight. He would, if you liked my mother and you was dating my mother and you came to visit my mother, Mr. Ed, just believe that man was going to set your car on fire. You be in there talking to my mother, having eating dinner. And that thing, boom, your car just got blowed up.
that was some extreme stuff, and the funny thing about it, I've known guys like that, I've known guys that did stuff like that. So I can definitely relate, I never had that personally connected myself, but I've known guys that it was just like that.
Mr. Paul.
I'm listening.
Why I was so calm with the feces in my yard. You see why I was so calm now? Do it make sense?
Yep.
That I didn't react and respond the way my mama was. And that right there was like, ooh, here we go.
That's some danger zone stuff there, though. That's not just toxic. That's beyond toxic. That's just straight.
What?
You know, there's some words like I don't even want to film on the air.
There's a lot of individuals that don't know how to break that bond. That's not love. Somebody will get hurt if you don't do something about that. And I really feel bad for women as well as men, because you got some men that are dealing with women like that versus women dealing with men like that. It can go.
Of course, because I've had toxic women I was with, you know, but I tried to deal with it, you know, and then, but once I got out of it, you know, I count my blessings and stuff, because I know, you know, everything got better once I got away from that person, because, you know, I would have pretty much wasted my life trying to just make this person happy or just trying to survive this person. I've been walking on eggshells trying to keep them, not make this person upset, because I know they can go there, you know? And so that would have hindered my advancement in life, you know, as well as my success or whatever, because I'm too busy trying to, you know, keep this person happy so they won't, you know, put me in the hospital or whatever. And
but
so a lot of times divorce is a blessing to people, you know?
But it goes back to what I was saying about biting on nails.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Goes back to biting on nails.
And
we get so stubborn in our ways to where we're not truly trying to help ourselves. We're trying to change someone else. And you got to remember, like you said, you can't change nobody else. You can only be responsible for you. And if people are only going to do two things, they're going to follow your lead, or they're going to follow their own lead.
Yeah, because change comes from
within.
You can't make nobody change. You're right about that. Change comes from within. A person has to want
to
change. Like what you had mentioned earlier, Jeanette, about, you know, about the saying about you can't make a whole housewife and all the other stuff. Well, this is the thing on that. A lot of that stuff is questionable or debatable. Because, like, for instance, the whole housewife thing. A woman that was out there in the streets doing whatever, she could change. She could become a housewife. But she's going to have to do it from within. You can't make her do that. She's going to have to change her from herself from within.
True. That is true.
Just like drug addicts or anything else.
But here it is. But don't get it twisted, because if she got to go make some money, she know how. If she got to make it happen.
Well, yeah, but the point is, though, I think what the real point is that she – once she gets out of that and realizes she doesn't have to do that no more and she wants to be legitimate, then she can decide that she wants to go legitimate and that she don't want to do it that way no more. It's the same thing with dope dealers or whatever.
Yep.
You know, same thing.
Some drug dealers can make excellent businessmen if they put their mind and they focus on it. But you know what? But I want to say this. When you talk about turning a hoe into a housewife, and but with that being said, one of the things that I've seen as a therapist, and what happens is the husband will remind her of who she was and where she came from. Because when she starts evolving and she starts changing into the woman that God has meant for her to be or developing, that scares that man, because that man still see her as who she was. And sometimes people can change, but people don't accept your change. So they get used to you being a certain way. They accepted you that way. That's you.
Well, it even speaks about that in the Bible. A person can't. You can't be a prophet in your hometown. You can't. Because people, they did the same thing to Jesus. People from his hometown didn't think he was real nothing, because they knew him as the carpenter's son. You know, so he had to leave and go somewhere else in order to be, you know, respected.
Like,
because people in the neighborhood was like, "Oh, ain't that the carpenter's son? Who are you trying to tell somebody about? What you know?" You know, they wouldn't even give him the time of day.
You just gave me confirmation about something, because now that makes sense in regards to what my auntie was trying to tell me. Because when I go to Compton, people still remember Jeanette from Compton. some knew I didn't do a lot of things. Like, I was never in a gang. I didn't do drugs. I was never promiscuous. I was always a smart. But they really didn't know who Jeanette really was, because they didn't know. They knew Gene Kids wasn't no punk. They knew that. They knew that I, they knew some things, but they couldn't put it all together. And then once I became educated, which I was already educated, but once I got older and once I matured emotionally and I handled a lot of things, and even with relationships that I dated, I remember my auntie told me, she said, Jeanette, nobody say nothing bad about you, but the only thing they throw up is or bring up is your son's father. And that's true. But there was a lot of things about my son's father I did not know. He wanted to change his life. He wanted to do better. But my parents knew, they knew that that was going to be a vicious cycle, or could have been a vicious cycle of what their relationship was like. And I'm what'd you say, Paul?
Let me say this. You going back to your childhood, I just want to say that I come from a family of 13. I'm the last one. My mom hit me when she was in her mid-50s. And I'm going to tell you, I ain't never been from shit. My mom used to tell me, I love you to death. You my favorite child. But you, boy, you are a mess. And that's what people remember of me, because everybody in the neighborhood and everybody around us knew my mother and father. And you know Dale and John Kids, but now that I look back at that and I taste that bitter tree that I used to bite on and bite on them nails and still spitting teeth out, I've learned, you know, it's up to you to change. It's up to you to change the mindset.
It ain't up to you to change the mindset of others.
It's up to you to change within yourself in order to find that you that you've always been looking for. Because most problems don't come from our parents. Most problems come from myself.
You're right. And you know what?
I tell people, life is not hard. We make life hard.
There you go. That part right there. And you know what's interesting?
We make life hard.
One thing I can truly say, Paul, is people don't disrespect me. Even when I go to Compton, I'm not disrespected, because I never disrespected myself.
That's right.
Now, they may say, Jeanette do it, but Jeanette knows how to put it, because Jeanette ain't trying to go to jail. Jeanette ain't trying, but Jeanette know how to protect herself. That Jeanette do know how to do. Even whether I got to protect myself in a boardroom, in a courthouse, in my business, in my own home, Jeanette can protect herself. Because I had no choice. So some of the things I learned, I still, it's in me, but I utilize it differently.
You got to learn to do it differently. And even when I walk the streets now and go through different things, and even in the church, and even when I walk into a building, my presence is known. Why?
Yeah.
I don't know. People respect me unconditionally. And I hardly ever have a problem. But when I do have a problem, it's because it's called jealousy or haterism.
Oh.
They look at me and they get a figuration of, this person here. You know what I'm saying? Because I've always been a big guy and I've always been had a heavy voice and, look at him, blah, 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 blah. But I've never had a problem to where people really wanted to stand up and try me. They're like, no, I'm not messing with him. And that's the way it's been all my life.
Yeah, I get it. I totally get it.
It's presence.
Oh, I get in trouble whether I open my mouth or not. Sometimes I don't even have to say nothing, and I still get in trouble. And I've learned that, I don't want to call it the battle, the demon, whatever, with my parents, because I still get accused of some of the things that my parents have done, but
correct.
I'm not them. I didn't do it.
You can't hold me accountable for what somebody else done, but I get that a lot, though.
You're right.
We do.
But it's
our presence that make people act out like that. It's our presence of that no-nonsense attitude that get people to act out like that. It's our presence of knowing who we are and we being stable in who we are. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Our presence mm-hmm. call out to people, and it draws people to us. Sometimes it draws a hell of a good people. Sometimes it draws a few bad eggs. But those few those few bad eggs know that, he ain't with the nonsense, and I ain't going to keep trying them like this because they right. know something's going to happen, and you're not going to like the results you get, or you're not going to get the comment that I'm going to give you. You're not going to like the words that come out of my mouth, but I'm going to always speak truth to you and tell you how I feel.
There you
like
go.
It or not.
And when we talk about these attachments, and I know we are so out of time, but we got to be more careful and mindful of who and what we connect ourselves to and with.
Yep.
That is where my friends that care about me, my family members that care about me, because I know all my family members don't care about me. I know that, and I accept that. I'm cool with that. But I am mindful and strategic now of who and what I attach myself to, and I'm aware of what attracts themselves to me. Now,
but you
I'm
know what that is, Jeanette? Let me tell you this. Not meaning to cut you off again, but let me tell you this. You know what that is? People are not used to breathing the air that you breathe. You're too high for them. That's all that is. Your elevation is way different than theirs, and they haven't never, ever smelled that air that took in that fresh air that you're breathing up there. That's why people try to come up and steal that air from you because they're not used to have it. Just like TDJ said, you can't let everybody steal your oil.
Nope.
Keep stealing your oil. Your oil
nope.
is for you. Use your oil on you and not for everybody else.
And you know what? And some individuals get mad at me about that. I can't attach myself to everybody. I can't.
That's
it's
right.
just constant. You mean me no good? Stay away from me. Because the one thing we talk about, street smart, book smart, and common sense, and when you got a beauty and brain to go with it, come on now. I know I can be toxic to people. I know that. It can be like a drug. So because of that, I've learned to, and you of all people know the way I live my life. You watch me. You see it.
But back again, that's that
like,
air you're breathing up there. You're breathing that good air, and they don't know what good air is because they never had it.
And I get tired of being put in the box, but it's okay. It's okay. So
they do not like the air you're breathing up there. So they're trying to steal that good air and see if they can become you. And they don't understand it ain't for them.
Well, a lot of people don't want to walk in my shoes. They don't want to. What they say, y'all want none of this smoke. It's too much. I got way too much to do.
Yeah, my shoes too big for you. That's why I wear 14s. You can't walk in. You
got
small
way
feet.
Too much.
So stay in the duck lane.
Okay, Mr. Paul. So in regards to toxic attachments, and like I said, we got a lot of young individuals. We know love is different for everybody. What do you want the listeners to know when we talk about a toxic attachment? How to identify? What would your advice be coming from a man of your stature and what you've been through, experienced?
Biting on those nails and spitting out teeth. Stop biting on nails that you can't break with your teeth. Start hitting it with a hammer and see what you're going to get out of it. And I guarantee you either they're going to perform right or they're going to run off because they're going to get tired of getting hit with that hammer every time.
Mm-hmm. You know what, Mr. Paul, I got to tell you, when you said biting on nails, I got in trouble by my uncle when I was younger because I was watching Pippi Longstocking, and I didn't know that Pippi Longstocking was uneducated, but Pippi Longstocking, she was a gangster. And I used to love me some Pippi Longstocking. I know, Mr. Ed, you had put something on your post about cartoon things, and my favorite one was Hong Kong Phooey. Even though the dog was smarter than Hong Kong Phooey, but I remember a lot of childhood cartoons, but Pippi was my girl. Pippi Longstocking was chewing on some nails one time. I tried that. My uncle beat the hell out of me. We went somewhere one time. I don't know if somebody was sticking a knife down their throat. I don't know why I thought I was infallible, but I did some crazy stuff back in the day. But it reminded me of that when he said bite on nails, Paul, that a lot of men my age now are losing their teeth. I know as I got older, mine is starting to spread. I'm like, I ain't never wore braces in my life. What the heck's going on with my mouth? But we losing our teeth. There's nothing to play with.
That's the nail.
I remember one time when I was a kid, I saw, oh, some show I was watching, one of those shows, and the guy was, you know, trying to swallow the sword down his throat, where he swallowed the sword. And I was like, wait a minute. Now, this is the thing. I went to the circus. I remember going to the circus, and I seen this guy, and he was swallowing the swords and all that stuff, right? So I was like, how the heck did they, you know, so here I am. I was about 10, 11 years old. I said, let me try this stuff. I went in the kitchen and got a butcher knife, and I just started to see what it would be like to even go in my mouth with a knife, right? And then I got like the tip of the blade to my mouth, and then I thought about that day when I got a paper cut from a coloring book on my lip, and that was one of the most worst things I ever had at that point. And that's where I put that knife down. I said, "Yeah."
It seemed like
a piece of paper could cause that much damage. Imagine what this knife gonna do.
That's right.
So I was like, "That must be some fake." I asked my dad about it. He said, "That's some crazy." Even my dad said, "That's some fake stuff. Don't try that stuff." Son.
I mean, but it seemed like every time I wanted to do something bad or crazy like that, my Uncle James would always catch me. It was like, I don't know if he was following me around or let me see what Jeanette is doing, but I always was doing something, and he always would bust me.
Let me say it like this. You know, one thing I learned a long time ago about guardian angels is, you know, people talk about, oh, you know, angels, this thing. Yes, it is. But see, this is the thing. They don't necessarily walk around in spiritual bodies with wings and all that. A lot of times they be within the people that's around you.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll guide people to go check. Because it's been times where I have been guided to go and check on somebody. Like, someone just comes to me and say, go check on so-and-so. And I go and check on so-and-so, and they're about to do something stupid just when I got there. You know? And that's probably what was going on with you. Your people was probably giving you the spirit was like, hey, go check on that girl.
Every time he catch me.
That's the Lord, you know, guiding, you know, protecting you. Because, you know, what you say, you know, God protects guys and fools and babies.
Because you know what, they definitely look out over my son, because he another one that's always into something. So, okay, but thank you for sharing, Mr. Paul. Mr. Ed, what do you want to leave the listeners with if we talk about toxic attachment?
I'm going to say it like this. You have a lot of people that feel entitled. They feel like they deserve this and deserve that or what have you. And then they end up getting with somebody that they get comfortable with. And then over time, that person turns out not to be what they expected, or they develop into something different than what they expected. But they have that. They have that, well, I made my bed, I have a lion mentality, and they try to just deal with it, you know. Like my man said, you know, they chew the nails and, you know, just deal with it, you know. And until they get to a certain point to where they just can't deal with it no more. Now, it's hard to really say why a person becomes toxic, because that can be a whole lot of different factors. But why you deal with a toxic person is more important than why they are toxic. That makes sense?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
so
it does.
I would think that, you know, that so, you know, you got to think about that. When you got to realize when you get with somebody, you got to study them. Don't just jump into a relationship because they look good or the sex is good or whatever it is. You got to study a person before you decide to commit to that person.
Uh-huh.
That's why dating is for a reason. Dating, that's a lie about dating to get married. You don't date somebody to get married. You date somebody to learn about them, to realize, to learn if there's somebody you want to be in a relationship with. Then when you get in a relationship with them, then you determine if you want to marry them. That's how it's supposed to work. You're not supposed to just date them and get married, and then later on find out you goofed. You see what I mean?
And not only, and I've known a lot of people that are married that don't even like each other. They don't even respect each other.
Exactly.
Holes in it because they already toxic themselves. It's like with domestic violence. Instead of asking the victim, why did you stay? Why don't we ask the abuser, why are you abusive? And why are you, what makes you think you can, this person, is you're going to be treating this person. There are some individuals that are disrespectful because they don't respect themselves. So I've learned to identify a lot of character traits now that I didn't pay attention to when I was younger. I know better now. Like Mr. Paul said, he see what I do. He watch what I do. He watch how I roll. And I know it may be kind of confusing, but I've had to change a lot of my ways because I've evolved based on what I've seen and where I come from. I don't put people down. I don't judge anyone. I don't make myself better than anybody. Even when I go to Compton, I appreciate my old childhood friends when I get the text messages, hey, I see you in the neighborhood. Hey, I take them out to eat. We go places. We do things. If it's, I'll call them up. Hey, you want to go fix this place with me? Hey, come. I've always been that type of person. I'm social, but I'm not all, I don't like to always socialize. But I will go. I will go, and I make the best of it. Like I said, I don't argue. I ain't got time to fight. I ain't got time for that. Life is too short. So I don't want to be poisoned by other people's toxicity by bringing this stuff into my life. Miss me on that. I ain't got time for it now. So I visited the store like many people have done, but you got to be careful with who you connect with and what you attach yourself to. And my mother has been telling me that all my life. And for years, I didn't get it. But I do now. I didn't get it. I didn't pay no attention to it. I didn't pay, and all she was telling me is, don't judge me. But she didn't want to change from her behavior. I do. So, Mr. Ed, I want to thank you for joining me today with this topic.
It was a pleasure, my dear. It was a pleasure.
That I'll talk about tomorrow. It was two different things. I'm going to let you choose. One of them was chasing attention, because we got a lot of people that are very attention-seeking. And then I've been getting a lot of information and people have been contacting me about being raised by narcissists. We got to do both of them, but which one would you want to talk about tomorrow? Chasing attention or being raised by narcissists? Because we got some individuals out here that are dealing with narcissistic parents and they don't know what to do. They don't know how to handle this.
Surprise
this
me.
Goes back to that you.
So just surprise me.
I'm trying to put it on you. I get tired of picking the I wrote them both down. I used to have a whole list of book level questions. Okay, so let's talk about raised by narcissists. Because we got some individuals, This is not to put labels on individuals, but if we're going to end a lot of these things, we got to catch people when they're young to let them know that help is available so that they won't continue to repeat generational curses. If you have a parent that's a narcissist or a drug addict or an alcoholic or whatever the case may be, once you identify it, you can realize that you don't have to be a product of your environment. You can do better. But it does have a lot to do with our growth and our journey. So we'll talk about being raised by narcissists tomorrow at 6 p.m. Okay, Mr. Ed?
Sounds good to me.
All right, until then, remember you got this, and let me go take care of what I got to take care of because I got other clients I got to see, and I got to do a group tonight at 5 o'clock. So I enjoyed the show. Thank you. Tune in. Subscribe. If you're not available now to listen to the show, you can always click on the link at any time and share the information with other people. And if you have a topic that you want me to discuss, give me a call. My office number is 714-992-1677. If you want to change some of your ways or your behaviors, I don't have to be your therapist. I really don't. But I can provide you with information to try to help you get on the right path in regards to what treatment options are available and the different type of therapy methods and modalities that are available, even if it includes having a life coach. Because sometimes individuals don't know the difference between a life coach versus having a therapist. Most therapists focus on relational or mental health issues, where you can get a trained life coach that can help you along the way or on your journey by helping you where you are, connecting with you where you are to get to where it is you want to go, and especially to be healthy for yourself and healthy for others, including your children. So, again, thank you for listening, and thank you for joining and tuning in at Precious Predicaments, Blog Talk Radio. Enjoy the rest of your day. Bye-bye.